I appreciate the testimony of Brother Duane, but lest some would misunderstand and think that I am the Lord, let me clarify it a little bit. The best analogy that I can give you is when you go home this afternoon, pick up your phone and make a phone call, and you'll notice two things on that phone: a place to talk through and a place to hear through. Now, when you talk to God, you need a place to talk through, which is your mouth, and a place to hear through, which is mine. Now, no one would go home and try to make a phone call with half a phone, because you'd be talking to yourself. But every day, people try to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ by themselves with half a phone. Yes, I know you can hear what you're saying, because it's your mouth. But how do you hear what he's saying without a mouth? Half a phone is what's the problem with most Christians. You got to pay your whole phone bill. Maybe they'll send you a whole phone instead of just part of it. John 8:30, as a matter of fact, we'll be talking again about why Christians don't have victory. Why aren't they free? What is the problem? Is it something wrong with you, or is there something wrong with Jesus? Well, we could quit right there and the sermon would be over, wouldn't it? Let me read a few scriptures to you, and then I'll show you what's wrong with you. Verse 30 says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now, understand, there were many there, but not all believed. It doesn't say, as he spake these words, all believed on him. He said many did. So some of the people that were there didn't believe on him. Now, it didn't say they didn't believe in God. It didn't say they didn't believe on God. It didn't say they didn't love God. It said they didn't believe on Jesus. There was a man in front of them talking to them, and many didn't believe on him. What right do you have to speak here? You don't know. What makes you think you know the truth? So see, but Jesus spoke to those that believed on him. Now, in this room, I suspect there are some that believe on me and some that don't. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. See, now I'm talking to those of you that believe on me. Those of you that believe that I'm telling you the truth. Those of you that believe that I'm a man sent from God with a word from God specifically for you and your sin so that you can have victory. That's who I'm talking to. So now he says something to those that believed on him. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, he was talking to those that already believed. Now, there was some in that group that didn't believe. So in verse 33, they answered him. Well, if you go back to verse 32, after the word free, that's a period. I'm not here to ask you any questions. I'm not here to ask you for money. I'm not here to ask you to believe me. I'm not here to ask you anything. I'm here to tell you something. So why do you answer? See, Jesus wasn't asking them a question. See, most Christians don't know the difference between a period and a question mark. Now, a period is a point. Now, when Jesus makes the point, don't question it. See, the point is a mark. And most Christians miss the mark. And so don't share in the prize. Here's where you commit the sin. When you don't believe what's told to you here, here's where you commit the sin. Now you'll go home, and all week long, you'll have the wages of your sin. See, when Jesus said sin has no more dominion over you, that's exactly what he meant. So see, here's the problem. You come and you are told the word, and the word always has a period, a mark. And then you look at it and you question it. So you question the mark. You miss the fact that there's a period there. There's a mark. You miss the mark. So you don't share in the prize. Now, from the Greek, the definition of the word sin is to miss the mark and so not share in the prize. Now the prize only goes to the winner, and the winner is the one that has victory. So today's message and all day long, we're going to show you why you missed the mark. See, you thought sin was drinking and cussing and taking drugs and committing this and committing that. No, that's the wages of sin. You can only sin against God. How can you go out there and sin against sin? Well, I'm going to tell you where you're going to sin. You sin against God. If you're going to sin, there's only one you can sin against. It's God. So where can you sin against God? When He's talking to you. When you don't agree. You're not sinning in the bar. Is God in the bar telling you, don't do that? You're not sinning against God there. You're having the wages of the sin. Here is where you commit the sin. When you hear the word, that's when you commit the sin. Then you'll go home and you'll have the wages of the sin. So Jesus was talking here to those that believed on Him. Now in verse 33, the ones that didn't believe, they answered Him. We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now notice Jesus in verse 34. He knows they just asked a question, didn't he? So now He's going to answer them. Now Jesus answered legitimately because at the end of verse 33, there's a question mark. They asked Him a question. At the end of verse 32, there is no question mark. Now, what's happening here? Jesus is preaching a sermon, isn't He? And I'll tell you what happens in this sermon, just about every sermon, if not every. I start preaching something, and one of you questions it. And then all of a sudden, I see something I didn't see. Not on my notes. And I start preaching on something. Now I know what I'm doing. I'm answering those of you that are questioning. And that's why you sit there with your teeth falling out. And you need more Paladent or whatever it is that's necessary. You got to come with a double dose because they'll be in your lap. How did he know that? My wife must have called him. Somebody told on me. You know you do that all the time. Well, what's happening? You answered Jesus. You didn't answer me. And that's why, incidentally, sometimes the sermon are longer than you like. If you would sit there with your ears open and your mouth shut, we'd be done when Jesus is done. But see, here's a couple scripture sermon, and it turned out to be all the way to the end of the chapter because they kept answering him. And let me tell you something, my friend. Jesus is going to have the last word. When you finally stop answering and say, man, I'm hungry, you're not questioning Jesus there, then I quit. But as long as you sit there and you think of scriptures in your mind, how you can answer the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to sit here. Jesus will have the last word. So now Jesus answers them in verse 3. Jesus answers them in verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And goes on and on. But you're going to find out as we go through these scriptures, they keep answering. Let's go back to verse 31 and I'll take you verse by verse. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, here's what Jesus said in those two scriptures. Number one, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples. Number one, you continue in my word. Number two, you are my disciples. Now, the minute you're my disciples, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's all Jesus said. Now, to those that didn't agree with him, they answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. Now, did Jesus say anything about who their dad was? He didn't even mention Abraham, did he? In fact, he wasn't even talking to them. So you see, not only do they question him, but they always change the subject. Every time I'm talking to people and I say, now, brother, you wouldn't be suffering that if you hadn't done something wrong. Well, are you saying everything's my fault? I didn't say that. You just changed the subject. You don't deal with what's being said. So see, they answered him in verse 33 and said, "We be Abraham's seed and never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" First of all, Jesus didn't say, "You're not Abraham's seed." And secondly, he did not say, "You're in bondage to any man." See, they interrupted him. What he's going to say in a minute, you're in bondage to your sin. You're a servant of sin. But I think the Spirit in them knew that was coming. Said, "Well, we're not in bondage to any man. I didn't say you were." So see, you think that because you change the subject in your mind, and what I say doesn't fit what you're thinking in your mind, you think you're right. No, you're dumb. See, the reason you're dumb is because you're not listening to what I'm saying. And you're talking to yourself just like you talk to God. See, you're not listening to me. They weren't listening to Jesus. They weren't even talking about the same thing. They were talking about being Abraham's seed and never being in bondage to any man. Now, isn't that amazing? Here is a nation that's been in bondage to everybody in the world at one time or another. Say, "We've never been in bondage to any man." But that's another sermon. The fact of the matter is, they answered him. Now let me tell you the seriousness of when you answer the word. The word "answer" means not to, in this case, to respond to a question, because there was no question. The word "answer" means, from the Greek, to conclude for oneself. In other words, you don't want to be told the truth about you. You want to decide what the truth is about you. You want to conclude for yourself. That's why you go to the Lord by yourself. See, if you go by yourself, and when you're there, you're by yourself, and when you leave, you're by yourself, isn't it logical that you've been by yourself? See, the problem is they want to conclude for themselves. That's what the word "answer" means. In other words, I don't want this to be the truth. I want to conclude that the truth is we're Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man. And you know, here's the thing about it. Jesus is too smart to argue with them about that. Because it is true they are Abraham's seed. And it is true they've never been in bondage to any man. They've been in bondage to a nation. So because Jesus didn't answer that question and argue with it, they thought they won. See, Jesus listens to you, doesn't he? Now, what they said was true, but it didn't have anything to do with what Jesus said. So what they're doing, they're concluding for themselves, they're deciding for themselves, rather than be told by Jesus. And some would say, "Well, I never would say anything against Jesus." Later on, Jesus will say, "Here's your problem. You seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. Not a God, not a Savior, not a Holy Spirit, but a man who has told you the truth. That's why you seek to kill me." In other words, Jesus says, "I'm talking to you as a man, not as God." But I'm getting ahead of the message here. They answered him. They wanted to conclude for themselves. Answer also means, it comes from two words. "An" means against. It comes from, I believe, a Latin, or I don't know what the word root is, but it's where we get the word "anti." And it means against. The second part of "an" means against. "Swear" or "swear" comes from the word "swearin," which means to swear. So the word "answer" here means to swear against. Swear against. Be anti what you just heard. Speak against what you just heard. That's what the word "answer" means. Be careful when you speak against what you just heard. You better be careful that it isn't right, because if not, you're speaking against the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not speaking against me. Because I'm just reading it here. I didn't write this. I'm just repeating it. Now, the word "answer" not only means to swear against, but swear against what? Well, answer means to defend oneself. Well, Jesus was talking against their sin. So they were swearing against the truth, defending themselves against the truth. So if they're against the truth, then they must be for the lie. You see what I'm trying to tell you, Christian, why you don't have victory? Because Jesus said if you didn't do this, you would know the truth and the truth would make you free. And the fact that you still smoke, you still overeat, you still are depressed, you still gossip, you still lie, you still cheat, means you're not free. And the reason you're not free is because you don't know the truth. And the reason you don't know the truth is because you keep answering the truth. You want to conclude for yourself. You want to defend yourself against the truth. Now understand this. To answer, it means to conclude for oneself. In other words, to conclude for yourself. Jesus said, this is the way it is, period. And you say, no, I want to conclude for myself. Conclude means to bring something to a close, to a finish. In other words, period. You even say that. That's it, period. Case closed, Archie Bunker. So you see, what's happening is Jesus said, I put a period here, and you say, no, I question that. I put the period over here. See, they move the period. They move the mark. They miss it. They say, I'm not going to take that. That's a period. And when there's a period, that's the end. It's over. There's no more. Now, the only way you can miss the mark and commit the sin is you have to put the period at the end of what you say instead of at the end of what I say. Now, I'm not talking from my mind. I'm talking from this Bible. You are talking from your mind. You're moving the mark to where you want it. You want to put an end. You want to put a close. You want to put a finish. But let me tell you why you're a coward and no man. Because what I tell you when I say period, I say it in front of your face. And I'll say it here, outside, or wherever you want to hear it. And you say it that way. Why aren't you man enough to come and tell me? Let's see where the period goes. Let's see where the mark goes. Let's let Jesus decide which one is right. Because you see, if we let Jesus decide, then brother, we're both victorious. But if you don't do that, you're going to walk away defeated. So see, they wanted to settle and decide these things for themselves. Now, Jesus put a period at the end. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciple, then you know the truth, then you are free. Period. And they said, no, we be Abraham's seed, and we're already free. Period. Then why are you committing sin? I'm Abraham's seed, and so are you. How many of you have ever been a slave? Not me. So we've never been in bondage to any man. And if I look back like you do, all the way back, Abraham was my great-great-great-great-great-great-great and yours too, grandfather. Then why are we still sinning? If that's where the period goes, then we wouldn't be sinning anymore. No, Jesus said, look, the period goes back here. You do not continue in my word. You're not my disciple. You don't know the truth, and that's why you're not free, period. And they said, no, let's move that period. We're Abraham's seed, and we've never been a slave, period. And then the Lord says, okay, now what? Well, I got to go sit now. I can't stand it anymore. You got to go have your smoke or whatever it is you need. Well, see, by actions, you're not free. Someone that's free doesn't hide behind. See, it doesn't matter if you go out there to smoke or to talk against me. You're not free enough to say it to my face. I'm free enough to say it to yours. The lie always has to hide in the dark, doesn't it? And the truth is on top. That's where everybody can see and hear. And not only that, I'll give you a tape, and if that's not enough, I'll come to your house and preach it again. And from your front lawn, wherever you want it. It doesn't matter to me. Buy my lunch and I'll tell you again. Kill your appetite. You want to go on a diet? Buy my lunch every day. I'll guarantee you you'll lose more weight in a week than you can. Your appetite will out the window. Well, here's what happened. They couldn't deal with what Jesus said, so they changed the subject. And now, instead of the subject being, you must be my disciples, you must continue in my word, be my disciples, know the truth, and be free. Now the question is, we're Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. Well, I thank God that Jesus doesn't act like we do. Now, in verse 34, Jesus is going to answer them. They changed the subject. Jesus said, okay, you want to make this sermon longer? We'll make it longer. You raise a question, I'm going to give you an answer. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, period. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever, period. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, period. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you, period. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 periods. Guess how many we're going to have? We're going to have a grace full of periods, aren't we? I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father, period. Now there's a mark again. They're going to miss it again, aren't they? They're going to miss the mark and so not share in the prize. They're going to commit another sin. This isn't a question mark. As a matter of fact, there's 5 periods there. No. Verse 39, they answered him and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Now, Jesus said, you do that which you have seen with your father. That's all he said. He didn't say Abraham wasn't their father. He said, you do that which you've seen your father do. Now, this is one of the reasons you don't like me, folks. You come and tell me, Jesus is my Lord and God is my Father. Ah, but I see what you do, and I don't see Jesus doing that. I see you doing what your father did. You do what you've seen of your father. You're claiming the Lord. Then why don't you act like him? Well, Jesus is saying very clearly, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying, I see what you do. And what you do is what you see your father do. And they said, wait a minute. No, no. What we do, even though it's what our father does, no, no. Abraham is our father. Well, what is that, a guilt complex? All he said is, what I see you do is what you see your father do. Now, if what they were doing was right, they would say, amen, period, I agree with that. But they didn't. Because they know what they were doing was wrong. Now, they were saying a lot of right things, but they were doing wrong. So they answered again, and they changed the subject, and they said unto him, Abraham is our father. Now, look in verse 37. Jesus said, I know you are Abraham's seed. He didn't say Abraham was their father. He said, you are his seed. Now, they said, no, Abraham is our father. But Jesus never said he wasn't. He said, the problem is, you're his seed. But okay, they answered him. Now notice, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father, period. Now look at the next thing. It doesn't say Jesus answers, it says Jesus saith. Isn't the Lord smart? If you would learn to listen to one another, if you would learn to listen to the scripture, to the preaching, and learn what it says, you could communicate with each other the same way, and you would listen to what your wife says, and you would respond to what she said, and vice versa. Look how this man listens. They didn't ask a question. They said unto him, Abraham is our father, period. So Jesus didn't answer. It says, Jesus saith unto them. In other words, he's not going to speak against that. He says, you say, you didn't ask me a question, you said Abraham is your father. Okay, let's look at that. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, he's not saying you're not. He says, if you are, this is how you would act. If you were a child of God, if you were a child of Jesus, you'd do the works of Jesus. Didn't say you weren't saved. So he said, all right, you didn't ask me a question, so I'm not going to speak against what you said. I'm just going to analyze what you said. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. The man was preaching, wasn't he? This did not Abraham. Abraham did not treat the word the way you treat the word. So how can you be a child of Abraham and you don't do the way Abraham did? Abraham was told, Abraham, take your son up there and sacrifice him to me. Okay, Lord. Why, you won't even sacrifice your cigarettes, your cupcakes, you won't even sacrifice. Sister, take those Twinkies up there and sacrifice. Oh, Lord, no, I can't do that. My precious sugar, no, I can't do that. This did not Abraham. How can you claim that if you act differently? What the Lord is really saying, all you have to do to know who your father is, look how you act. That'll tell you who daddy is. The problem is, you would like to talk one way and do something else. Thou speakest with a forked tongue is what your problem is. Yes, I know you come to church and you're very spiritual and you look good. I'm interested in what do you do at home? What do you do when you're not around here, around the brethren? How do you act and talk then? Like your father, that's how. And you know why? Because when you come here, you speak against, you answer and talk against this preacher. So then you go home and you act like your daddy, your father, the devil. Because see, if you were Abraham's seed, you would do the works of Abraham. If you were the seed of the truth, you would do the works of the truth and you would be free. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that you're not saved. I'm saying you're not free. Now, your soul is saved. Your soul is free. Your soul does not smoke, drink, cuss, fuss, or muss. You do. See, so when you say, but my soul is saved, I'm already in agreement with you. Your soul is saved. I'm preaching to your stinky flesh. Your soul doesn't lie. Your soul doesn't eat like an oinker. Your soul doesn't answer back. It's you do. And you keep changing the subject on me when I say, the truth shall make you free. And you say, my soul is already saved. You've just changed the subject. I didn't say your soul wasn't free. I said you weren't. I didn't say your soul wasn't saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You got that when you went to the altar. I'm saying your body isn't free because you don't want to know the truth. You took soul salvation and you're trying to live off of that the rest of your life. That's why your body's suffering. Because it's not free. You don't know the truth. Now Jesus answered them and said, this did not Abraham. And then in verse 41 he says, you do the deeds of your father. Now, that convicted them to their heart. Now understand, there's a period at the end. It says, you do the deeds of your father. They say unto him in verse 41, the end of 41, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Oh, really? Just a few scriptures ago, you said you had one father, and his name was Abraham. And now you're saying you only have one father, and he's God. Changed the subject again, didn't you? Can you see how it is? Do you understand now why the messages last the way they do? Do you understand sometimes why the counseling can go for hours, and then you keep answering God? And every time God Shut your mouth up with a period. And listen, let me tell you something. I'm smart enough to know this. Every time God puts a period, that's it. The only way you can keep it going is you have to change the subject. And then God will answer that one, period. Then you change the subject. God will answer that one, another period. And you keep changing the subject till finally we go all the way around back to where we started. And then you say, oh, got to go now. Yes, you do. Bye. But Jesus had the last word. Why do you think I don't get tired? I can counsel 1 minute longer than anybody on the face of this earth. 1 minute longer. That's all it needs. One more minute than you. No matter how tired I am, go one more minute than you can. You lay on the floor, I'm good for an extra minute till you're gone. Then I may fall down, but when before you leave, you say, what holds that man up? I got one more minute than you. Now, here they said, now see, God is answering each question as they raise it. And as they do, the only way they can keep answering, God, they keep having to change the subject, like you do. And they said, listen, we have one Father, God. And now they're talking against themselves because they said their father was Abraham. And see, Jesus was right. He says, Abraham's not your father, you're his seed. We have one Father, which is in heaven. That's why God said, Jesus said, call no man on this earth Father. Now they finally come around and say, we only have one Father, and his name is God. So they change the subject again. Well, guess what? Jesus is not going to quit. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father. Now, he's not saying he isn't. He doesn't disagree. He says, let's take what you said and let's see. Oh, I love it. See, the Lord's having me counsel this way ever since I began. I didn't even know why. Then Jesus said to him, if God were your Father, you would love me. Why? Because Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is love. And if your Father were God, you would love me. Now, he didn't say you would believe me. He didn't say if God were your Father, you would believe me. And I'm not saying if God were your Father, you would believe me. I said if God were your Father, you would love me. And you say, oh, that poor man, look how much he doesn't know. Father, at the end of the service, can I go talk with him and maybe go buy his lunch and say, look, brother, I got to share this with you. If God were your Father and you were right, that's what you would do. Instead, you walk out of here like a snake slithering. Say, phew, you hear me?
No. We lost our
microphone here. Oh, I see what happened. Now listen, am I saying these things because I'm angry? Of course not. Am I speaking against you? Of course not. I'm speaking against that thing in you that won't let you free. Now Jesus said unto him, if God were your Father, you would love me. See, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That's godly. So it wouldn't matter whether I was right or wrong, you would love me. I'm not asking you to believe me. I come here to tell you these things because I love you, not because I believe you. And I'll sit and listen to you for as long as you want to talk, not because I believe you, not even because I like you. It's because I love you. Well, why do I love you? Because God's my Father. And then he tells them why God is his Father. He says, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now, whenever someone tells me, I think or I believe, then he sent himself. And when I say John 8:42 and I read it to you, then I'm sent. He sent me. I didn't send myself. And then he answers a question. Some people say, I don't understand him. Well, I'm going to tell you why you don't understand. Verse 43, Jesus says, why do ye not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. See, understanding is not your problem. Hearing is your problem. And you say, well, I hear the word. I'm not talking about the word. Here's what you don't hear. Period. That's what you don't hear. That's the mark you miss. See, you think because you say, oh, yes, that is such a beautiful word of God. Uh-huh, yes, yes, Lord, amen, brother. But see, the punctuation marks are just as much a part of the word as the word. So when God puts a period, that's the end. No more. Over with. Now, when you in your mind say, ah, but, what have you done? You haven't heard his word. The period is just as much his word as God so loved the world. You have to understand when there's a period there, that means there's no more to discuss. Beyond that, now you can discuss what I've said up to this point all you want, but don't change the subject. He says the reason you don't understand is you cannot hear. Now, when I say you cannot hear, that's a period. I don't have to say period at the end. But if I say, can you hear? See how the voice changes when it's a question? You don't get no questions from this scripture. You don't get any questions from this pulpit. You do not understand my speech because you cannot hear my word. Period. That's why you can't understand. You try to figure it out in your own mind. Then in verse 44, Jesus goes even further. He says, you are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. Now some will say, well, my father's not the devil. When's the last time you saw Jesus smoking a cigarette? That's a lust. That's a desire. When's the last time did you hear Jesus gossiping about a brother? When's the last time that Jesus says, I don't hide under a bushel? Man, I shout it from the top of the hill. I say nothing in secret. So if you're doing something in secret, if you're saying something about me to someone other than me, you're doing the lusts of your father, the devil. I didn't say you weren't a Christian. I didn't say you weren't saved. What I said, you're doing the lusts of your father. Now Jesus said, I'm not condemning you. You know what your lusts are. You know what you like. You know what you do. Now all you have to do is find out who's the father of that. Now the father of what you do is the father of you. God, that's so simple. I don't know why you don't understand it. Because you cannot hear. That's why. Period. Let's remember this all the time. Whenever, that's my way of, see, I can't say it that way, so we got to speak it. I got to say, that means period. He says, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. Now the word lust is not necessarily a bad word. It means what your father desires, what your father needs, what your father wants, what your father has an appetite for, that's what you'll do. So if you have an appetite to eat wrong, think wrong, sleep wrong, do wrong, talk wrong, those are the appetites of someone who happens to be your father. And if it isn't God, if it isn't Jesus, you've condemned yourself by your own action. I'm not saying your father is the devil. I'm saying you do the lusts of your father. Whatever you do, you know whether that's something Jesus does. And if it isn't something Jesus does, then it's something the enemy does. So see, you're doing the lusts of your father. Now, he doesn't stop there. He says, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. See, he says, the one you follow, the one that is your father, was a murderer from the beginning. You're murdering, in other words, is what he's saying. Now, I know you sit here and say, well, how could he say that? I never murdered anybody. I didn't say you murdered someone. I say you're murdering someone. Now, what does murder mean? Murder means to premeditated, to plan to kill somebody. That's what it means. Now, when the Surgeon General says smoking is hazardous to your health, and every article says it causes cancer, and you say, I think I'll go buy some of that and smoke it, you are planning to kill someone, aren't you? You. When your doctor says, don't eat that, salt is a killer. That food you're eating, you're overweight, your blood pressure is too high, you're eating wrong and you're eating too much. Stop and say, no, I can't. I don't want to. You're killing someone. Yourself. Now, I know you would never think of taking your wife and saying, here, you're going to eat this salt whether you like it or not. And you don't like this and I know it's bad for you, so here, I'll make you. That would be murder. But because you turn around and do it to yourself, you think it isn't. You're still killing a child of God. He says, you're doing the lust of your father. He was a murderer. He's a killer. He does things to cause death. Now, when you do things to cause death, even if it's your own, you're committing murder also. I know this doesn't go down easy. Didn't for me either. But it's still the truth. I know it when I see one. I'm not going to answer this. I'm not going to argue with him. He says, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. See, the devil has the same problem you do. No truth. Now, why are you a murderer? Why do you do things to kill yourself? No truth. Or is it that you don't get the truth? No, you answer the truth. You miss the mark. Look through your Bible, brother, when you see a period. Shut up. That's God speaking. I cannot believe that one day you're going to stand before the judgment of God. And it's just going to be to pass out rewards for us. We're not going to be judged like the rest of them. Are you going to talk back to him and say, I don't want this. Can I have a green one instead? Well, he got a purple one. You're going to talk back to God? You'd be so happy to be there, you wouldn't open, you'd just say, thank you, amen, and praise the Lord. But just because he's standing before you now in the form of a man, just like he did when he came as Jesus. Jesus was flesh and blood, the man Jesus. Inside of him was God, Emmanuel, God with us. But Jesus, just as much man as I am. Only difference is he was without sin, and I picked up the slack there, and then some. But says, your problem is, a man has told you the truth. Now, I know if God came down in a flaming chariot right now, double parked outside, and came in, you'd say, oh, isn't that a wonderful, yes, Lord, God, Father, and he could say the same thing. But just because it's coming from a human being, a man, you're having problems with it. You cannot hear my word. That's why you don't understand. If you'd hear, you'd understand. The problem is, you're thinking. You're thinking your own message. You're talking back to Jesus. And this father that you have was a murderer, and a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So see, Jesus saying, look, I didn't bring up this issue of fathers, you did. Now, why is it people get upset when an issue that the Lord had no intention of preaching this? I'm convinced of that. Now, he does in other issues, but they needed it, didn't they? And so do you. And that's why this message, God ordained this day a long time ago when you were talking against truth. Maybe not against me, but you were talking against truth. And God said, here, I'm taking you, buddy, and I'm going to put you, and I'm going to sit you there, and you're going to hear it. You do whatever you want with it, but you're going to hear it. Well, here you are. This is the day. Do what you want with it. But you're going to hear it. And if you do, you'll understand it. Now, in a minute, Jesus is going to explain why you're not free. But for the time being, you can see that changing the subject, not recognizing the period, that is closed. Jesus said, and we've been saying, Jesus said it, and that's good enough for me. You liar. I heard you sing that. Oh, Jesus said, and that's good enough for me. No, no, you're lying. That isn't good enough for you. You missed the mark. There was a period there, and you said, no, that's not good enough for me. When you get through, when this day is over, when you read your Bible, you will look for periods, question marks, semicolons, commas, and everything else, quotation marks. It's all part of the Word. Listen, brother, when you see a comma, that means he's not done yet. Don't take that scripture and run with it. Comma means I'm not done. You know what comma means? Gotta breathe. That's all comma means. But see, I listen to some of you people. I'm talking and I start to take a breath and you jump right in there. Wait a minute. See, every time I breathe, you start thinking. I wish I could. If I could, I would train myself and take a deep breath before I come in here and preach the whole thing. And you'd be waiting. He's got to breathe sooner or later. Because the minute I breathe, comma, you're in there. No. See, you don't know how to read. That's your problem. You don't know what a comma is. You don't know what a colon is. You don't know what a semicolon is. And you certainly don't know what a period is. See, when listen to people when they talk, they interrupt each other because they're not listening. All they're waiting for is one thing. This is the only thing they can hear. Boom, that's my chance. They didn't hear a thing you said. What they're looking for, here's what they're listening for. Got him now, see? Because you can't talk when you're taking a breath. See, and I talk and I keep going. I got to. Boom, and there you are. See, well, he doesn't know about this. And what about that? See, you took off to the races. Comma, my brother. Comma. Comma. Back to verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, and those again, just to those that believe, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So he was talking to those who were free or who wanted to be free. Now those that don't want to be free from their vices answered in verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus didn't ask them a question, but they have an answer for him. Now they're answering a question Jesus didn't ask because Jesus didn't ask a question, but they're not even relating to what he said. So Jesus said, all right, I'll play your silly game. Let's talk about this that you've never been in bondage to any man. He said, look, we're Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now he says, yeah, but that doesn't mean we're in bondage to any man. Yes, it does. Because it's your appetite, your desires, what you want. Although you say, I don't want that. Your mind says, I don't want to drink. I don't want to drug. I don't want to overeat. I don't want to cuss. I don't want to gossip. I don't want to lie. I don't want to cheat. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to. Your soul, your mind says that. But your body says, yes, you are. And you do. So you are in bondage to a man. You. That's why you commit the sin. It's you that wants to do it. You know, I didn't see that the first go around. One of you must have had this question. I'm warning you, if you don't, when he poops, you're going to hear more than you bargained for. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, verse 34, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. See, don't think that you're doing what you do because you like it and because you want to and because all these silly excuses you make. You do those things because you're the servant of your sin. You're in bondage to it. You have no choice in the matter, and you try to cover it up and act like I can quit anytime I want. No, you can't. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. In other words, he says, your mind's already free, but the son isn't free. Your body isn't free. Now he says, you're going to have to do something to be free. And that's something, you're going to have to quit arguing with me for one thing. And then he says in verse 37, I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you.
See, if you were Abraham's seed and God says, I know you're Abraham's seed, then why do you seek to kill me? Because what I'm saying has no place in you. I don't call you up and give you a bad time. I don't go and criticize you. He says, the reason you have a problem with me is because the truth has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. See, the problem is we come to church and I speak that which I've seen with my Father. I'm preaching the Word, and you do the things that you've seen your Father do. Now, don't tell me you've ever seen Jesus drunk, smoking a cigarette, overeating, and gossiping. Well, if you did those things, then you have a different Father. And you see, that's why my Father and your Father, see, my dad's bigger than your dad. Remember as kids we used to do that? Better do that, not do that, I'll tell my dad. Well, you go ahead and tell your dad. Your dad's a jerk, just like you are. He says, you can only do the things that you see your Father do. Now, brother, all I'm asking you to do is look at what you did and then try to tell me Jesus did that. And how can you say God is your Father? And I didn't say you weren't saved. What the man is saying here, he says, my word has no place in you. And the reason it is because I speak. He didn't say he did. I'm not saying I do what my Father did. I said, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Now, Jesus could have said, I do, but he didn't. Because he was a preacher. He was a man, a human being. Now, if he'd have said it that way, then I couldn't have preached that scripture. He said, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. I'm smart enough to know that I don't do that which I've seen with my Father. And that's because I'm a sinner and I'm just a man just like you. So I'm here to tell you, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. And you do that which you have seen with your Father. See, the problem here is not do to do. It's not do-do. That's not the problem. It's speak do. That's the problem. See, it's I speak what I've seen here. And you do what you've seen. Now, if we both see the same thing, we both speak the same thing. Oh, but what will we do? That's not the issue right now. So you're getting ahead. See, what you're doing, you're preaching your own sermon again. You didn't see the mark again, did you? If we could both speak the same thing, we'd walk out of here in agreement. And we would have committed no sin. So he says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Now here they go again. They answer him again. And they said, Abraham is our father. And God says, all right, if Abraham's your father, then let's see what Abraham did and see if you're doing the same thing. Well, it turned out that they weren't doing what Abraham did, right? So they changed the subject again in verse 41. They said unto him, we not be born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. They sure dumped Abraham in a minute, didn't they? They changed the subject again. Now, we're back to where we left off. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. Now, I'm going to camp on that a little bit. I didn't touch on it enough the first go around. Jesus didn't say, if God were your Father, you would believe me. He said, if God were your Father, you would love me. Now, see, the problem here, Christian, is you get upset at me. And if God were your Father, you would love me. You don't have to believe me to love me. Now, it is obvious I love you, or I wouldn't put up with you. And I sure as hell do not believe you. See, your problem is God's not your Father because you don't love me. All you want to do is fight and argue. And I didn't say you had to believe me. And neither does God say you should love me. God is love. Now, if you love him, you'll hear him. And if you hear him, you will believe him. But it starts with love. And you're used to starting with hate and arguing and fighting. That's the way your daddy did. And your mama, that's how they got along. And you want to get along with this preacher the same way. Well, you can forget it. I love you. And if God were your father, you would love me. For he says, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. And you can't hear the word because verse 44 says, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. Now all you have to do is look at what you like, what your lusts, what your appetites are all about, and then that's your father in that area. Now if God says, do not eat things that do not split the hoof and chew the cud, do not have scales and fins, and if you do just the opposite, you're doing something of another father because of your own appetites. You're doing the lusts of someone else. Now, it doesn't bother me because it's not going in my stomach, but I still have to tell you the truth. You're doing the lusts of your own father. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He's out to kill you. That's why he gives you appetites for things that are killing you. Now, the problem is you're not going to believe it until you see a doctor in a white suit with a little mirror on his head telling you, you've got to quit that. It's killing you. And a long time ago, a doctor with a black suit with two little mirrors on his head said, you got to quit that. It's going to kill you. And he said, this is free. The doctor is going to say $10,000 an hour. But you're going to hear it. A man is going to tell you one day, watch this, mark my words. One day a man's going to stand in your face and tell you, if you don't stop that, you're going to die. And then you'll think, God sent me a man a long time ago that said, if you don't stop that, you're going to die. Now all it's going to change from a black suit to a white suit, that's all. And that one's going to cost you dearly. I hope you have Medi-Cal, Pacific-Cal, Cal-Cal, and whatever Al-Cals there are, because you're going to need them. And this is free. It's priceless. We don't put a price on it because you couldn't afford it. Nobody could. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. Now understand what this is saying. The only time you lie is to protect yourself. You ain't never lied in your life to protect somebody else. Think about it. Now think of all the lies you told already today. You only lie to protect yourself. And listen, the lie does not protect the truth. You can only lie to protect the lie. One lie covers another lie. Now you got two. Now it takes two lies to cover the two. Now you've got four. Now it takes four lies to cover those four. Now you got eight. Off you go to the races. See, you speak a lie when you speak of your own. Now that's a heavy thought to think about. Every time you lie, you're covering for yourself. And a lie is of the devil. For he is a liar and the father of lies. So whenever you lie, guess who your father is? So see, your father is the father of the lie, and you are the liar, and what you're lying about is your child. That's your attitude, your action, the things that you do. That's your baby, and you lie to protect your baby. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Then he asks a very important question. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Now I thank God, he says, which of you says that I have committed sin? Because he never committed a sin. And if he'd have said it that way, then I couldn't have touched this one with a 10-foot pole, because I have committed sin. But what he said is, which of you convinces me of sin? In other words, which one of you knows what sin I've done? I've done sin, but you don't know it. So as far as you're concerned, I am without sin to you. Now, let's change that around. Can I convince you of sin? Yes, by your own big mouth, you already told me. You call me, you can't wait to tell me about your sin. So I can convince you of sin, but you can't convince me. Now, does that mean I'm not a sinner? No. It means I'm qualified to preach this now because none of you can convince me of sin. And I can convince everybody in this room. Yes. Everybody. Everybody in this room. And I don't have to make up any stories. Out of your own mouth, I will judge you. You told me. Well, I didn't mean it. Well, then you're a liar. Let's just change sins. You're still a sinner. I can convince you of sin. You cannot convince me. Not that I'm not a sinner now. Don't misunderstand that. How many have you ever called me to counsel about my sin? Never. So see, God says, look, understand the positions I put in. If I were in the same position, then I would call you when I have a problem and tell you all about it. But I don't. Because then you could convince me of sin. And if you could do that, then we'd need another preacher. And no, thank you. I like where I'm at. So he says, which of you convinces me of sin? He didn't say, which one of you knows or does. No, because then that would have excluded me. Now, it would have included him, but excluded me. And he had to preach it in such a way that a man could do it. Because he preached as a man. So if he preached as God, then I couldn't preach it. And you couldn't hear it. Nobody could preach it. So see, he preached as a man. If Jesus did anything as God, then how dare him come in the flesh and say, look how flesh can do. Oh, I forgot to tell you, I was doing it as God. No, he came and what he did in the flesh as a man. Now, if he can do it in the flesh as a man, then so can I. And so can you. So he said, which of you convinces me of sin? And there was no answer. Notice now, when he asks them a question, they don't have an answer. And I'm sure he waits. See that thing on the end that goes, that's a question mark. He said, now which one of you convinces me of sin? And he waits, and he waits, and there's no answer. Well, then he said, well, all right. So obviously, if you're not going to answer, then he says, well, then if I say the truth, because they said nothing, why don't you believe me? You see how wonderful it is when you read the Bible guided by the Holy Spirit? You could have read this 100 times and never saw this. You could have read it 1,000 times and never saw that. And without the Holy Spirit, I could have read it 10 million times and never saw it. He asks them a question. He says, which one of you convinces me of sin? I'm asking you, which one of you knows what sin I've done? None of you. Well, if I say the truth, then why don't you believe me? Now, you can't come up here and do this because I can. You say, which one of you convinces me of sin? I say, I do. I know what you did because you told me. He that is of God heareth God's words. Verse 47. Ye therefore hear not, because you are not of God. Period. There's no question there. That's period. There's a mark there. If they'd have said, my God, this is a man of God speaking. I'm not of God. I don't hear. Father, help me. What do I do? They'd have known the truth, and the truth should make them free. But they missed the mark. There's a period there. A mark at the end. Period. A point. He made the point. They missed it. They missed the mark, so not sharing the prize. That's what sin means. So what do they do in verse 48? They change the subject again. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? This sermon could go on all night. See, first they said, hey, listen, we're not sinners because we be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man. So then Jesus shot that one out. So then they changed it. Abraham is our father. Jesus shot that one out. He says, God is our father. Jesus shot that one out. He says, ah, here's the problem. You're a Samaritan and you have a devil. They just don't want to deal with what's wrong with them. At the end, there's something wrong with the preacher. You see why I don't care when you think about me that way? Because that's the way they treated Jesus. That's the way people, the wrong spirit, treats the truth. After all their arguments were shot out of the water, the last thing they said is, you're a Samaritan and you have a devil. We don't want to talk. Don't tell us anymore. We can't deal with your words. Well, how could all this truth be coming out of a Samaritan who has a devil? See, what they did is they changed the subject again. And now they're going to try to find fault in Jesus. And understand this, he just gave them an opportunity. He says, which one of you convinces me of sin? Nobody said a word. In other words, we can't convince you of sin. However, you have a devil and you're a Samaritan who does no sin. Can you see how these people are crazier than you? So, it's time to change the subject again. Jesus answered in verse 49, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I seek not my own glory. There's not a message you've ever heard or a counseling session where you've ever heard where I said, can you help me, brother? Can you do something for me? I'm not seeking mine. I'm trying to help you. And on top of that, I don't even go look to help you. I wait and respect you until you ask. He said, I seek not my own glory. Aren't you tired of churches where you go and all they talk about is what we need? We need another steeple. We have this bill to pay. We have this. Give us more. We need more money. We need more of this. Somebody's got to do this. Somebody. No, I say, this has to be done, and it's going to get done. If you don't do it, I'll do it. It gets done. So you see, he says, I seek not my own glory. You've come to a church. You ought to thank God you've come to a church where we talk about how you can get healed, how you can get better, how you can get promoted, how you can have all the glory of God, and you do. See, we're not here to seek our glory. Not here to have you tell me and help me. I'm here to help you. He says, I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Now, we don't need, that's another sermon. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Oh boy, we got him now. Now they're going to change the subject. Now understand how they do this. This time they're getting a little slicker. They're not going to change the subject. They're going to change what Jesus said, like you all do. Well, you said, no, I didn't. You did. Now they change the subject. Verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Now, what did the man say? The man said he shall never see death. I said, oh, no, you got a devil. Now we know you're cuckoo. Because you said, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. What an attention span. These are children, aren't they? Infants. Or they're devilish in the way they're doing things. The Lord Jesus Christ did not say you shall not taste of death. He said you shall never see death. But I'm going to tell you something. They told the truth. We shall never see death and we shall never taste death. He didn't say we weren't going to die. Now let me tell you what I mean here. See means to acknowledge or to experience, to consider, to be in contact with, to experience something. And taste means to handle, touch, to receive the sensation of. Now, we as Christians will never see death and we'll never taste death. I didn't say we wouldn't die. In other words, as a Christian, here's what I'm going to tell you. When you went to sleep last night, it seemed like just that fast. Now, to me, it wasn't because my phone rang at 4:30 in the morning, but it seemed kind of fast. But you go to sleep, and then, just like that, you wake up, and it's day again. Well, that's the way it's going to be for us. If the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come before you go, notice I didn't say me. If he doesn't come back before you go, here's what's going to happen to you. You will close your eyes in El Cajon, wake up the next second in heaven. You will never have seen death. That's right. We're not going to see it. You're going to just go from one place to the other. That's eternal life. From one split second, it's just like in a blinking, a twinkling of an eye. You close your eyes, open them again, and you're in a different place, never having lost a second of life. We don't go to death. We don't go to the abyss. We don't go to the chasm. We don't see the torment. We don't see all of that. We just go directly from life to life. And they go from death to death. You're so interested in killing yourself, you're going to have to go visit Dad, the father of your murders. Killing yourself with anger and depression and drugs and food and toxins and alcohol and all the other trash you put in yourself. You're killing yourself, you murderer, you. And just because you're murdering yourself, you think it's not a child of God. God loves you and He doesn't appreciate the fact that you're killing one of His sons. You're killing one of His daughters. You're murdering a child of God. And you think just because it's you, you have a right. Well, Jesus paid for you. He owns you. You have no right to do that to yourself. He said, look, you'll never see death. You'll never have to experience that. You just go to sleep, just close your eyes, and you wake up the next split second, and you're in another place. Not having lost a beat, nothing. Now that really got him right where it hurts. So then in verse 53, they're still not, see how these people are? They're just like you, aren't they? He keeps answering your question, you just ask another question. You change the subject. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Who do you think you are, in other words? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Because I'm going to tell you who I think he is, and I'm going to tell you who I think I am. Jump back to verse 40. He already answered the question. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth. That's who I am. Who makest thou thyself? A man, a human being, a sinner, just another human being like you, that has told you the truth. Now that makes us different because you've been lying to yourself all your life. You're the biggest liar in this room. Yes, I'm a man and you're a man. And I'm using the term generically now. It applies to you ladies too. Now the difference is, I'm a man who has told you the truth, and you're a man that's been lying to yourself all your life. That's the difference. And you seek to kill me. That's who I make myself. I make myself a man that has told you the truth, and you seek to kill me. Now the word kill doesn't mean physical death only. It means dead, means to become senseless and no longer used, no longer significant. Obsolete, lacking positive qualities. In other words, I don't get nothing out of that sermon. No, you don't. Then that's your fault. You know why you get nothing out of this sermon? Because you don't want what's in this sermon. You want the lusts of your father. That's what you want. And then dead also means, and you listen to how people talk about me. Dead means lacking warmth and vitality and being without feeling. Well, that man has no emotion whatsoever. He just doesn't care. In other words, you're saying I'm dead. You're trying to kill me, aren't you? Dead also means lacking brilliance. Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You're trying to kill me. Why? Because I'm a man that has told you the truth. Now, if you're so in love with yourself and you're telling yourself the truth, how come you're trying to murder yourself? So you're only trying to kill me. So you're only talking against me. You're trying to kill me and murder yourself. Now, if I am not telling you the truth and you are, then why are you trying to murder yourself? Why do you feed yourself the way you do? Why do you do to you the things that you do? The fact of the matter is, you're not happy either way. Your father, the devil, is trying to murder you, and you're trying to kill me, the only one that's told you the truth. And he says, look, not only that am I telling you that you're trying to kill me. He says, but here's the problem. I'm a man that has told you the truth. The word man comes from the Greek, means a human being. Now understand who's talking here. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Creator of heaven and earth, says, I am a human being that has told you the truth. Now during that space of his life, Jesus Christ was a human being. And he spoke the truth, and look what they did to him. Now how do I expect to come as a human being and speak the truth and expect your lusts and your appetites to say, oh, praise God, a man has come to tell us the truth. Well, no, I don't expect that. I expect you to try to kill me. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. You give me 3 days, and then let's talk again. And let me tell you something. You come on Sunday, the first day of the week, and you don't like what you hear, and you crucify the Son of the living God. But then you come back on Wednesday, 3 days later, and here I am, resurrected again, still in your patootie, right? Ah. Oh, what a joy it is to be the Son of God. Crucify all you want. I'll see you on Wednesday, my friend. That's resurrection. As a matter of fact, it's the other way around. You crucify me on Wednesday, and then the first day of the week, I'm resurrected just like my Jesus, just like my Lord. And here it is. This is Sunday morning, first day of the week. I'm resurrected. I'm still here. You swore you'd never come back, but here you are. Where is he? Have they taken him? No, I'm right here. Why seek ye the living among the dead? I'm here. This is resurrection. You tried to kill me Wednesday. You didn't like what you heard. You spoke against it. You talked against it. You did against it. And then you come back like the rest of the spectators on Sunday morning to see what happened. And here I am. Resurrected in power and in glory. You see, if Jesus did that as a man, if the Father did that for Jesus as the man, and he's no respecter of persons, then how can he not do it for me? Now, the problem is, I'm saying, look, if he resurrects me on the first day of the week, guess what he would love to do for the rest of you? But no, they came and they saw that he was resurrected, and what'd they say? Oh, they must have stole his body and hid it somewhere else. Oh, ye of little faith, he said he was going to be resurrected. The problem is, he was a man. And that's the problem you have with me. I'm a man. And I'm a man that has told you the truth. Now, so that you don't think this has to do with scriptures. Now, this is truth. But this is not the truth Jesus was talking about. See, because you go to a church, or you've been somewhere where they tell you the truth about Jesus, you think you know the truth. That is the truth, but it's not the whole truth. See, the whole truth is to know the truth about Jesus and the truth about you. And that's the part you don't like. Tell me a story of Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. No, I say, I'm telling you the story of you, my friend. Because you know what this word truth means? Comes from a Greek word that means to bring into accordance and in harmony with the facts and the reality. Now here's the truth that I have to tell you. The facts and the reality is you are drunk on food, you're drunk on emotion, you're drunk on toxins, you're drunk on depression, and you're acting like a drunk. That's the facts. And that's the reality. Now, all I have to do is come and put you in accordance to say, yeah, that's the way I'm acting. That's right. Now you know the truth. And that's the truth that makes you free. But you don't want that. Tell me a story about Jesus. Oh, how wonderful he is. And let's throw in a little bit about the ark, too. That was a good story. And that whale business, yeah, give us some of that Shamu routine. I like that. Oh, isn't that wonderful? We might as well pass out color books. Because you all came from churches where on Sunday morning they gave you as a child a color book and said, here, how wonderful. No, see, color the whale there. Color the whale blue. No, I'm here and I'm coloring you. You're the coloring book. You're the picture. See, we have to end up with a picture of you, not of Noah. Noah's in heaven already. His problems are over. You're the one that's having the difficulty. And he says, here's why you seek to kill me, because I have put you in accordance and in harmony with the facts and the reality of what you are. The things that you've done, I have put you together with them. Now, you don't like what you've done, but you have done it. So somehow you want to believe that it was somebody else. And he said, all I did was take what you did and say, you did it. That's all. That's all the truth there is. Now, when you walked in the door, you already know what you did, and you already know who did it. You know what the problem is? No man has said it. See, you know what you did, and you know that it was wrong, but you lie. You conceal the truth. You won't speak it. And the Lord says, son, are you ready to confess? Are you ready to speak the truth? I already know what you did. No, I'm not going to say that. Okay? Come on to church. I'll have somebody say it for you. And what happens? I stand here and say what you should say. Now, because I confess it doesn't do you any good. If you say amen, say that, Lord, that's it, then it'd be the same as if you said it. But what do? You answer. You change the subject. You go through all your rigmarole, and next week you're going to do the same thing, go through the same cycle, and let me tell you something. I'll still be here on Sunday morning, resurrected in the power of God, and you can't stop it. You can do all you want. Try whatever you want. The fact of the matter is, if you're going to come to this church, you're going to be put together with what you did. And I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. The only thing is, I'm man enough to say it, and you're not. That's the only thing that separates us. Now, if you'd become man enough to say it, by the time you got here and you had already said it, and then I said it, we'd be in agreement. Then it would be amen, instead of, what does he think he is? Well, I know who I am. I've been that person for a long time. I should know by now. Not the problem is not my knowing who I am. The problem is you don't know who you are. And the truth makes you in accordance with your facts and your reality. Come back tonight and I'll show you how to get free of it. I'll show you what Jesus said. Now that you know this truth, now I'm going to show you how this truth will make you free. But I'm going to show you something else. It doesn't just take the truth, Jesus Christ. It says, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. The truth makes you free. The Son sets you free. Now you thought that Son was Jesus Christ. He is, but he's not the only son. You have to do something to set yourself free. Jesus, as the truth, makes you free. He opens the door. You don't have to smoke. You don't have to drink. You don't have to overeat. The door's open. You know what the problem is? You're the son, and you don't walk out the door. You don't set yourself free. You've been made free. And that's what you want. You don't like it when I'm sitting here and standing here and telling you, you're sitting in that cage, in that bondage, with the door wide open, acting like a child, saying, I don't know why I can't quit this. I'll tell you why you can't quit it, because you don't want to recognize that the door is open. You don't want to recognize that God's saying, all right, son, get up and walk out. No, I can't do that. Well, then sit there. That's your problem. But I'm going to keep telling you the door is open, and you're sitting there. You come back next week, I'll say the door's still open and you're still sitting there. And you come back a week later, I'm going to keep telling you the same thing until you finally get it in your head. All I got to do is get up and walk. And then you'll be free. See, it took Jesus, it takes three of us. Jesus, me, and you. Somebody to do the truth, somebody to tell the truth, and somebody to act on the truth. And then you'd be free. Until you do that, you can sit there in bondage, having been made free, but not set free. Because you don't want to act the part of the son. Maybe it is because you're not a son. You know, one of these messages are going to tell me something. If I were you, I'd go home and say, am I really saved? When did I ask Jesus to save me? When did I confess that I was a sinner? When did I really recognize that I had coming what I was doing? I was a sinner. I was wrong. and only Jesus could save me. When did I agree to that? And then you'll think of a date, and then I'll ask you this. If you agreed to that then, why don't you agree to it today? Something's wrong. And it's not for me to judge. You decide. All I'm telling you, come back tonight, I'm going to show you how to be free. If you don't want to be free, then don't be. Brother Sherman, would you close the services in prayer?